In today's episode, we try to unravel the mystery and pitch several sequels to The Wraith.
Feds come in, raid the game. You both did everything illegal. Stop it.
Oh, well. The Pope comes over. He's like, Notre Dame? Nope, we're leaving. Turn around. Go. Go home. And they have to. He's their boss.
Yeah. Oh. Pope boss.
The Pope boss. How has that not been made into a TV series? I mean, you can make pretty much anything into a TV series or a movie if you want to, including today's film on Funsphere Movie Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
Oh, fuck, I forgot his name.
Taggart?
I mean, I forgot my name. I wrote it down. I told it to Skid.
You're working through it. Keep going. Keep going.
Gutter Boy.
Okay.
I'm okay. Jake. Jack. Jake. Jake. Yeah, Jake.
Jake. Jamie. Jake. Okay, Mike, you got one.
I'm what seems to be the inspiration of the suit from Plaster Master. When we watched it, I was like, is this the reason JJ wanted us to watch it? Is because I would think that suit would remind me of Blaster Master.
I'm gonna reincarnate Ish and then kill a bunch of dudes and then frame my younger brother for it by giving him the car.
Giving him the murder weapon.
And skip town.
All right. Before we get too far into it, today we are talking about 1986 film The Wraith. Which is an independently made action fantasy film.
Get out of here.
I'm dead serious. Starring Charlie Sheen, Sherilyn Finn, Nick Cassavant. I don't know how to say that man's name.
Ron Howard's brother also.
Yeah, and Nick Cassavantes and Randy Quaid. So this film
Clint
was...
Clint Howard.
Yes, and Clint Howard, you're correct. The film was released in 1986 on just 88 screens.
Wow.
I don't know why. Yeah.
Too many.
The plot, and that is
a pretty stacked cast for,
yeah.
Were they that popular then?
Sherilyn Finn wasn't in Twin Peaks yet, so I don't know.
Yeah. Nope.
Charlie Sheen was just because of his dad and the movie that he had lined up next. But Josh, I'll let you continue before I hit that.
I was going to say, the plot involves, you know what? I'm not going to spoil the plot right now. We're going to talk about this. We're going to first determine if there is a plot, and if there is, why.
It's really funny because we went through a good portion of the movie thinking that it was an alien, despite the title of the movie.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about it. Is it an alien?
No.
Is it a ghost? Is it a reject from Power Rangers and or VR Troopers?
I mean, it has to be a ghost because of the name of the movie.
Yeah. Wraith.
Okay.
Okay, so listen.
A wrath.
When you die.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did he have the choice to pick how he wanted to come back? Like, why a car and why two? Like, he
could. Okay,
just...
so that begs the question.
He's just like, make me cooler looking.
Okay, so.
And it's a real car, too, right?
It was a commercial.
It was a
car.
It was a concept car. So all right. So we'll get into that. I'll get into my car spiels later. But I'll just say this. So we're going to ask that question at JJ's following. So it involves the plot, again, involves a murder, not necessarily mystery. It's a revenge film, sort of. And the victim of the murder, a young man named Jamie Hankins, he comes back as Charlie Sheen. Mm-hmm. So he's a different actor. Mm-hmm. He comes back as a car, as a robot suit, alien man, and Charlie Sheen. Now, is he all three of these things as the reincarnation, or was he...
These are his reincarnation powers.
Okay, so he has a crazy car.
Yeah.
He has a robot suit that doesn't seem to do anything except, like...
except look cool. Yeah.
Does it look cool? Nah. I don't think so.
When it's backlit, it looks pretty badass, man.
I mean,
it's like Daft Punk mixed with Blaster
Master.
He looks
like a little astronaut.
Okay. So this is going to be a callback for maybe again me and JJ. He looks like the guys that were on the Laser Quest show.
Oh yeah,
or Laser Tag show.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Was it Photon and gosh, yeah. No, it was terrible, terrible.
Yeah, yes. But again, it was a toy commercial disguised as a television show. Okay, and sponsored by the Dodge Chrysler. At the time, merged company. You guys were probably not as eagle-eyed as I was on the cars. There's only one non-Dodge and or Chrysler car in the entire film. And it's very interesting.
Wow.
Okay. So.
Promotional consideration.
Yeah.
Brought to you by. Yeah.
So okay. I thought about this. You know, Samantha mentioned that it might be just a commercial for the car. However, that car never existed. It was a Dodge M4S prototype. It was a prototype car.
The front of it did look cool because it was so round, which was unusual for the time.
Yes. Yes, it was a departure from automobile design at the time. And you guys should look up the real one because it looks way, way cooler than the Wraith does. The actual car is really sweet looking.
Cool.
But yeah, it's kind of like the Wizard.
Says it was a pace car.
Yes, it was used as a pace car. And so I was going to say, like the Wizard was used for promotional material for Nintendo at the time, you could argue this film was used as promotional material for Dodge Chrysler at the moment. Because it had... had some of the best hits.
Run everyone off the road, explode, and then get rebuilt. You're just fine.
Yes. You're just fine.
Did they... Okay, I guess you should go more into the plot, and then when we get to it, I'll ask my question.
No, go ahead. Ask your question now.
Well see okay, if we can... so... We know that those gang, this gang of neighborhood thugs, as it's called in the description, race people to take their cars, and they cheat a little bit. So
yes.
The Wraith races them one by one and kills them all. Kills one each time. But why?
Yes.
They never explain what was going on with their bodies. That would have been interesting. Like, why were they just completely clean except for their eyes gone?
That is an excellent question. And I think we're going to have to also throw that into the category of Wraith power.
Okay. All right. Just cause.
Because they
maybe that's the gas for the car. The deaths fuel the car.
He needs eyeballs to like make the car go.
Get eight eyes to the gallon or
dang, his brother's not gonna be able to take that car anywhere.
Okay. So I think that is a very interesting point. At the end of the film, so it's revealed that Charlie Sheen, and I hate to keep calling him Charlie
Sheen.
That's
his name.
It is his name, yes. But the character, or the actor, or the character he's playing in the film is the reincarnation of
Jamie.
His deceased brother, yes. Which, you know, I gotta say, it's weird to come back as a much shorter actor than yourself.
He said this was the best I could do. And he kept making it sound like he could only hold his form for like a little bit longer, and that's why he had to go. But then he just took Sherilyn Finn and drove off with her.
Yes. So again, there is a very like lack of description about how the powers work and if it's alien or ghost aliens.
I have a feeling a lot of this movie was fueled by, this would look cool.
It kind of reminded me
it doesn't need to make sense. This would look cool.
What was that movie? Yeah. Starman or something?
Starman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I have to read this trivia.
Okay.
According to Charlie Sheen, he shot this movie on his way to the Philippines to film Platoon.
Yep.
And Oliver Stone saw this movie and called him so upset that he was worried that this movie being so shitty was going to ruin people's perception of Platoon.
Oh, wow!
I loved when you could see their breath in that one shot when he was like dropping Carrie off.
Because it was filmed in Tucson, Arizona, all of it in person. So I guess it gets super cold there at night.
It does.
So I guess that's why. Oh, okay.
Then also, home of the gym show. Right?
Yeah, it is the home of the gym show. And then also, Charlie Sheen's role was only one day. Like, he was in and out.
I believe
in
one day.
Jeez.
And you're right. This was like one of his first films because he hadn't done Platoon yet, so he wasn't really famous. He hadn't done Wall Street yet. Hadn't done Hot Shots Part 2, which I believe is his greatest film, personally. That's just me. And
go on.
Okay. I think it really, Mike brought it up, there were a lot of famous actors before they were famous in this.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't done 2.5 Men yet.
Oh,
that's great.
That's him, right?
Yes. Yep.
He hadn't gone crazy.
I was going to say, was Randy Quaid... When was... I know...
God, Randy Quaid's character in this is so dumb.
So dumb.
I saw...
let's be honest. Randy Quaid is dumb, but...
I saw a review that I liked. It's like the town comprising of one house, a burger joint, and no citizen who isn't a teenager or a cop is overseen by Sheriff Randy Quaid, who displays all the reverence the script deserves.
Which I will say this, he's also very unclear of his own title because he refers to himself as a detective and a lieutenant in different parts of the film.
Well, maybe he runs lieutenant. A small town that only is teenagers, so I think he can be anything he wants. There were so many teens. I was like, holy shit, this town is overrun with teenagers.
Yes,
the 80s were
Who's
wild.
Who's making
man?
All these kids?
So, I'm interested to see. So this was JJ's recommendation, sort of, because I told him I got a copy and then he recommended the film. So I usually ask how we're familiar. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Mike and Samantha had never heard of it.
Nope. But I told Skid I was watching it and he said he loved it when he was a kid.
Okay.
Which I think
right.
makes sense. A kid, I can see loving this. Also, I was like, why is this rated PG? This is one of those 80s movies rated PG with sex scenes and a lot of swearing. And you're like, how?
Yes, very. So I'm going to come back to that, what you guys just said. That Skid liked it as a kid. JJ, how did you become familiar with this?
Saw it on TV one day, and anything with a cool car like that, or the Cybertruck's dad. I was like, it was cool. The cool leather, all of it was awesome, man. Racing.
Drinking
so yeah, it was just on TV.
Fluid.
Yeah.
All right. Now, was this on TV when you were a kid? On TV, what time frame?
I think I was in high school, so I was probably kind of old when I stumbled across this movie. And then, and then what really picked it up for me after, because I remember watching it, and then when the movie Drive came out, and Kavinsky's whole album was really big. A lot of people were cutting that movie into his album. And I'm like, I remember watching this movie. But that was just, 15 years ago? Whenever Drive came out. Whenever that album came out. So I revisited it not too long ago.
Okay. All right. And so I am actually only acquainted with it from last year. And so I was one of those random YouTube things that I was got. They were talking about like concept cars and they were talking about this car. And so I found out there was a film and like then I heard a piece of the soundtrack and I was like, how did I not encounter
soundtrack
this film? And I'm because I'm interested in what you said, Samantha, that Skid had seen it as a kid. This had an extremely limited release. Like it only came out on 88 film screens across the country. It was released on VHS in 1987 and then on Laserdisc. And then it went away. It was released on 2003 on DVD. So this is like one of those cult classics from the 80s, apparently for people that I never encountered. And that just seems very odd to me.
Well, he said he hasn't seen it in 40 years. So he would have been 10 or 12. So, yeah, that makes sense. He probably saw it in the 80s sometimes. It's also possible that it came somewhere in Denver and he saw it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but apparently, like, a lot of people have seen it. It's just one of those, when you encounter one of those after a while, like, you know, I've seen Howard the Duck. I've seen all the other, the classic 80, you know, films like that you would think. And then you see this one and you're like, how did I miss this? Because as a kid, I would have loved this. Because I was a diehard, and I mean diehard, Knight Rider fan. And so, because this is so, like, the high-tech car would have been, like, so right up my alley, I mean, we've also talked, you know, about Airwolf and high-tech helicopters being right up my alley. I was like, how have I gone this far in my life without knowing about this? It's one of those things you think it was made just for you, but so, wow, that's very interesting that people have seen it so many different times in their life, and it's a film, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is a film. I don't want to say it's good. I don't want to say it's bad.
It was entertaining.
It was for a little bit, and then it just felt like it was never. Like I was like, all right, this has to be the end now. And there was still half an hour left, and I was like, come on.
Like villains, get the clue, man. Get a clue. There's no reason to keep racing them. They should understand what's going to happen.
They keep trying, and each one of them is like, I'm taking him on personally, and I was like. No, he keeps killing all you. and so the other thing that made me want to get interested in this film, like Mike brought up, is the fact that Clint Howard is in it.
Yep.
As a villain, which is just like, I thought he was like a poor little nerd that was being abused by these people, like just from the clips I saw. And I was like, no, he is way into their like operation. I was very
he's
surprised.
Like a,
by
he's
that.
Like an evil scientist. Like he just wants to mess with the cars.
He definitely does.
So his wig was apparently a nod to Eraserhead because
okay.
The director is a big Lynch fan.
We go full circle.
Oh,
wow.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Looks okay. Yeah. That's art, why man. Though. You know what? I can kind of see that. And he must have been so excited when he realized he had Audrey Horne in his movie. Later, I almost didn't recognize her until she started talking. She looks totally different.
Yes,
except for the
this
mole.
Is...
Yeah, it's weird not seeing her with her hair dark.
Yeah.
Yes, as dark as it usually is. Yeah.
Weird.
Definitely weird.
So how about this? What about you had the chance to come back in a car in leather and it didn't appeal the way that it was supposed to? Like, oh, it's like gross. That's a terrible looking car. And why are you wearing leather pants? You know, what is this guy like? It could have went really bad, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's still going to kill everyone, but he had to look cool doing it, you know? But
yeah.
I don't know. So, I like this outfit because he had a the whole, I guess, the shop scene where he just drove the car to the shop and blew it
up.
Yes. How does that even work?
And then left. And they definitely had, like, the most 80s designed car shop I'd ever seen, with like the neon lighting and bright red railings and stuff like that. So I got a question specifically about the costume. I don't know if you guys, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Every time he kills one of the bad guys, one of the silver things like seems to fade. So is it like he's chained to the costume and he can't be free until he removes all four of those binders?
I didn't notice that at all. I wondered if
okay. Yeah, so like the maybe the car is the thing with the control, and maybe the ending of the film is actually a metaphor that his brother died somehow, and then now it's his brother's burden.
So he's like a ghostwriter kind of thing? Like, yeah, it keeps getting passed to another person, yeah, to be like the spirit of vengeance?
Yeah, you just gotta kill.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Like, there's so much that's unexplained, and like, you can see like...
I'm like, aware, Josh.
I mean, this is one of those written and directed by, so it's like, you know, the person, it makes total sense in their mind.
Yeah, somebody should have taken another pass at it.
Like, did somebody bother to explain it to the audience? No.
This is something I worry about with my writing. Like, all right, would this make sense to somebody who has no idea what I'm thinking? And the director/writer did not ask himself that, and nobody else like went over it. He didn't show it to anybody, clearly. He just got it made. Like, yeah, because I think it could have been really interesting, actually, and a like cooler movie, because they introduced a lot of like things that would start to be a little intriguing and then just like forget.
Like, okay.
And you know, yeah, I think it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
But it wasn't, definitely wasn't good. It wasn't Miami Connection bad, I don't think.
No. I gotta say this. I've seen it twice now. The first time I was inebriated, so it wasn't a good... I don't remember a lot of the film.
Drink that motor oil.
Yeah. Yes. Because nothing tastes quite as delicious and will kill as many brain cells as hydraulic fluid.
Why was he even alive?
No one would be. And that's like, I don't know, like, if they were also trying to have some anti-drug PSA as part of this film, because like the sheriff is really interested. He's like, quit drinking that crap to kill your brains and
kill your whole body. Like,
they're not drug dealers, they're car thieves
and murderers.
And they're chopping up their cars.
I loved Charlie Sheen's four scars on his back.
Yes!
Very clean.
And again, that brings up the binders again. Are they related to those scars? And there's too many questions. You know, there's other ghost films, I'd say, that explain the ghost rules pretty well, like
Casper.
Ghostbusters, Casper, Ghost actually explains the ghost world pretty well. But this one's just like, nah. And so I thought he would be Alien at first too. Especially
with
the car design.
The opening scene made me think of Aliens. And then I was like, why did they just become a car? Like, is this Transformers? Like,
I was gonna say, and I'm used to concepts of like Turbo Teen. So
yeah,
like
Turbo Teen. Yeah.
So a guy does become a car in that.
Great.
So it's just, but it's not explained, and it's just so weird. But it was entertaining. It definitely was entertaining. And even in the car guy for me is like, there's some really kind of deep cut cars. Like the first car they race against, the white car,
mm-hmm,
that's a Dodge Daytona, and they are extremely rare, and there's actually two of them in this film. And like I said, you had the Corvette, the Stingray Corvette at the time. You had this as the concept cars, and you had all these other Dodge cars and stuff like that. And
I wonder if somebody has the one they used for filming the concept car.
So you want to know who does have it?
I know who has it. Yeah,
Jay Leno.
Wow. Okay.
Now, Jay,
that makes sense.
I know he has a shit ton of cars.
That's the only thing I like about Jay Leno personally is his car collection. I am so a Letterman guy over Leno, but Jay has an eye for cars. I will definitely give him that.
That's cool that it's still that somebody has it. It didn't just, you know, get scrapped or whatever. It's not just rotting
away.
Yep.
Yeah, the so apparently there were only four of those cars. A lot of the copies that you see are just those are stunt cars, and they just put the kit of the exterior of the car around it, so it's not like it's the actual car. Mm-hmm. And they actually only use the real Dodge M4S for close-ups. So anytime you see it driving, it's not the actual car. Yeah. And like I said, it's crazy because I think they only made four or five. And like I said, the original one that was in the museum that I told you guys to look up, that's not the one that Jay has. Jay literally has the one from the film.
Oh, wow.
The purple one.
That's great.
Is it purple or is it black?
His is purple.
Purple's
great. Yeah, his is purple. I thought it was purple too. But
do you think Jay has a Dodge Dart?
I want to say he actually probably does. He has a lot of fancy cars, and he has a lot of just standard cars in great condition, because he liked them as a car guy. So I know he's got Beetles and stuff like that. Nothing that's.
What do you think the shittiest car Jay Leno has?
A Beetle.
I would say of
a
his
Datsun.
Collection of his collection that I've seen. First off, Datsuns are good cars.
Are they?
Yes.
They're dogs.
What's the Pinto?
Say he has a Fiero. That's really bad.
I think he's got a Fiero that's not great. He's got he's got some old timey 1920s and 30s cars that aren't that great. I think he has an AMC Gremlin,
ooh,
if I'm not mistaken.
Jay.
I bet he doesn't have a 91 Volvo 740. Which was my first car.
Jay Leno car collection.
And he's got tons. Okay, that brings up an interesting question. So you had a 91 S? Or what?
740.
740, okay.
Yeah, Volvo 740. It looked like a box on wheels.
Sure did. Had those classic headrests, though, so I like Volvos.
This guy's way too
what
rich.
Was your, JJ, what was your favorite first car?
1989 Pontiac Sunbird.
Oh yeah!
Dang,
foldable lights. So I don't know which one was more expensive though. Was it the Beretta? Because I mean, they were all the same car. The Beretta,
yes,
and the Sunbird, the kind
and
of
the Caprice.
But you know, because there was the Firebird, the Sunbird, and then Pontiac merged the two and built the Sunfire after that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the answer is, if you guys ever want to know the hierarchy of Chrysler vehicles, it goes as such. Top of the line is Cadillac. Next up is Chrysler. After that, it's GMC. Then it's Chevrolet. Then it's Pontiac. Then it was Geo below that. So the answer to your question is Pontiac was designed to be the sportier versions of certain cars, but they had to be tuned to 1 horsepower less than a Chevrolet.
Mm.
So, you know, the Pontiac Trans Am and the Chevrolet Camaro are the same car.
Yeah.
But if they had to sell it, the Pontiac always had to be tuned to 1 horsepower less than the Chevrolet.
That's so dumb.
So their system was more, that's just so more convoluted than how every other car company does it.
No, it's exactly
they do
this,
their
exactly.
No, because their tiers are just a make or like a model, not a make. So it sounds like
yes,
they have a company as its own brand, whereas opposed to Nissan has their mid line and
yes,
then their
yes. So
yeah, yeah.
So but it's not exclusive to them. Ford did the same thing back in the 60s and 70s. You had the top of the line was Mercury, then you had Ford, or no, it was top of the line was Mercury, then Oldsmobile, then Ford. So they had the same tier. They would all have the same vehicles, but they would each have a different something special that made it an Oldsmobile version of this car, or a Pontiac version of this car, or a Chevrolet or a GMC. And they still have that today. The biggest,
most of those brands went away, though, didn't
most
they?
Most of those brands have been discontinued, but Chevrolet to this day is still, you start with the Chevy, then you get a GMC. Like, the trucks are the easiest thing to notice. You have the Silverados, but then you have the Sierras in the GMC line that are more expensive.
Was Saturn a U.S.?
Yeah. Saturn was eventually folded into Chrysler. So, yes, they were independent, then they got bought, then they got shut down, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah, because remember, what, the early 2000s when all those U-Hauls were flipping over and they kept blaming the U-Haul, but it was actually the Ford Explorer that was doing
Explorers that was causing the problem.
But yes. The problem with that is the news outlets wouldn't say Ford because that was some of their main ad revenues.
Yep.
So, but they were quick to blame the Mercury Mountaineer. But that, yes. But it was the same car. It was the exact same car.
It's
the
exact same car. Just, they usually have different trim levels. So it's like, but to give you a further example, so you mentioned Nissan, right? Well, the Infiniti is their luxury brand. Same cars, different tunes, different, they might have a few different interior options and stuff like that, but pretty much the same car. Every big.
So does Toyota have?
They certainly do. Lexus is their luxury brand.
Oh.
When I was in high school, all the cool kids had the 350Zs.
Their 350Z is a classic car. And then, Samantha, what was your first car?
Jetta.
Volkswagen Jetta. What year?
Oh, gosh. I got it my senior year. That was 2008, but it was a couple years old. So it had to be, like, early 2000s. I don't know. It had a tape deck still. So that's how I, like, played my iPod. Like, put in the tape deck and then the aux cord.
Yep. Yep, had that in myself. My first car was a 1999 Nissan Frontier. So that was
then I had a Saab. Then I got another Jetta, which I now own. Well, as of 2 years ago, because I paid it off.
Excellent. Excellent.
So one thing I asked you all to check out is the song from LaMarca on that. Did you all listen to it at all?
Okay, let's talk about the soundtrack, because this is a very good soundtrack.
I thought so, too.
The song for me is definitely Where's the Fire by Tim Feehan. That's the opening and end credits. Let's see here. Stan Bush was on here versus Hearts versus Heads. I love Stan Bush. Secret Loser by Ozzy Osbourne, Motley Crue, Smoking in the Boys Room, Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love. I was surprised to hear that one.
Mm-hmm.
350Z.
Rebel Yell.
Rebel Yell, yeah.
Mama.
Lion Never Surrender. Wow, yeah. Oh, wow. So which one is your song there, JJ, that
Mine
you love
was
so
Hold
much?
On Blue Eyes from... Hold on.
Wow,
is that the credit song?
Yeah, it's the one that now was playing every time they're like going like on a date or whatever.
Oh, okay,
you just hear this
okay,
guitar.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, stop playing this song. And then the next morning at work, it was already on my playlist, and I'm just it's just playing all day.
So I'm using Wikipedia as I normally do, and that artist is there's two links you can get when you know there's blue links that are another Wikipedia page. There's a black link, which they never made a Wikipedia page. And then there's a red link, which is this page has been removed. And the artist Mark Timmons is the only one who's been removed from that soundtrack.
Oh, man.
Mark.
So,
Timmons?
I don't know why it doesn't. I guess that they're like made one song for the album of the soundtrack album for The Wraith. Yeah.
I can't find this dude. He doesn't exist.
Nope.
Well, on Amazon and eBay, the original packaged CD goes for only $169. $112.
Wow! Only $169.
Worth it, guys.
Do you think that by like focusing on this episode like we are, that we're going to make it have a Miami connection like resurrection? Are we going to be the...
I would like to believe so.
I think you're right, Mike. I also would like to believe that we're going to be the progenitors of the resurgence of the Wraith.
So what happens when a Wraith has a resurgence? I mean, if it's dead and then comes back.
And then it was dead again.
Re-Wraith?
And then comes back.
the Wraith?
The Wraith.
Can you imagine a reboot of this movie?
Yes.
So
100%.
I was reading about this earlier today, and apparently there's a movie called The California Kid, made for TV, has Martin Sheen in it. And it's about a rebel cop running kids off the road, and then him and his car come in to stop it. So they're saying this may be a secret reboot of that movie, but just a little different.
I tell you how I'd do it. I would do it as I'm thinking about films like involving like crazy cars. Like Knight Rider had a resurgence series. They had a TV movie. They also had Knight Rider 2000, mm-hmm. which was a team and Team Knight Rider. So I would do a honest-to-goodness remake, and I would try to tie this film into the Fast and Furious franchise.
I hope they make a remake, and it's with Joe Estevez in it.
So they would eventually, the Fast and Furious crew would be met by a car they could not take down, and it's the Wraith, and it would be like the but it would be a purely antagonist version of the Wraith, and it would be like the villain from one of the films that they took down. Like,
I think they mix it with Maximum Overdrive.
That movie came out the same year. Both, imagine that year.
Yeah, all these car films.
Well, they like, whereas this one was more ghost related, the reboot could be more alien related.
Okay.
Or they could just explain more. They could just tell us what the Wraith rules are. Does he only get to come back long enough to get his revenge, and then he has to go back to ghost space?
See, I thought that was where they were going to go with the film.
I also
but they
did.
Decided not to.
Because he told her, he was like,
Carrie,
I don't have much
time. Be more intentional with your story.
Yeah, that would have been not, I actually think that would have been a better ending to the film. He's like, look, I avenged us. You know I'm back in this form, but I can't stay. I got one last thing to do, and that's go talk to my brother. And then he's like, once that happens, he just goes off into the sunset.
He's
disappears.
Like, Carrie, I set you free. You should date my brother. He has my car now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How weird is that? Like, you have my blessing to, I guess, date my brother.
Well, like, you just Wraith out. And Samantha did bring up a very good point. He did totally frame his brother
for all these murders.
Because the cops are like, yeah, we're not going to keep looking for him, but they're going to notice, hey, that's that car that kept running everyone off the road.
And that's his brother who would want revenge on the guys who killed his brother. Now this makes way more sense than a ghost. Get him.
Actually, they should have just extended the movie 10 more minutes, and his brother tries to do something crazy in the car and just dies because he's not a Wraith.
Not a Wraith yet.
Oh, you're not a Wraith yet, yeah.
Then he has to get revenge on his brother because, you know, revenge is a cycle.
Oh, space race.
Oh, so I know how you could also do a sequel film to this. So, let's just say the brother takes over as the Wraith. He's just driving the car. It's normal. But all of a sudden, there's another Wraith. And this one tries to wreck him, right? But this is an evil Wraith. And it's Packard. He's the new Wraith. He's the evil Wraith. So, like, it becomes like a revenge or like a battle film between the two of them to, like, which one will save, what was her name? Carrie?
Carrie,
I think
was
her name. Yeah. So, like, the two race battle it out. So it's like a kit versus car situation, again, to reference Knight Rider.
But the new Packard Wraith is played by, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Is played by, everyone shut up. Piper Laurie.
Okay.
because of the Packard.
Okay.
Mill in Twin Peaks, and she was married.
I was also,
she was married to Packard.
Well, that Packard was the name of a famous car brand.
No, it's a Twin Peaks reference before Twin Peaks even came out. That's why Sherilyn Fenn is in it.
I know that you're trying to channel your anger about the passing of Mr. David Lynch right now into this, but I can assure you I don't think they were trying to reference.
They were, because that guy was psychic. whoever made this movie, he was psychic.
If they think like me, they don't need the details.
Yeah. That's why this story took place in the 80s, because that's all they had money to film it in. But actually, this exact thing is gonna happen the year 3031. When Josh is coaching Tennessee.
That's right.
So if Packard came back, I would have his car in leather.
Ooh.
The exterior.
That's what I was thinking.
It means business. Wraith 2, more
and
leather.
And it constantly has a switchblade that it can activate on the car.
I used to want that on my car. To just get everybody out of my way.
Okay. So would you go through all the people that died? Would you have Skank come back first? Or would they all come back as a set?
No, Packard took the souls of all four of them into himself to become the evil Wraith.
Oh yeah, and then he opens the hood and you just hear their screams.
Yeah. So even in death he's tormenting them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, guys, we do put out a lot of good sequel ideas.
I know.
I'm surprised Hollywood has not called us yet about these.
Especially our international fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? Who wants to make a sequel to Wraith with us? Who wants to make a parody or slash sequel to Old Boy?
Good Old Boy.
Who wants to make my sequel to Con Air 2 with the spirit of the film North? Which, by the way, guys, I bothered to get a copy of on Blu-ray for Christmas so that... we can one day in the future discuss this film. I'm not saying it's going to be the next episode that's a Josh pick, but it will eventually, one day, be a Josh pick episode.
Oh.
So you guys will all have to suffer through North with me. Ooh. Or enjoy it. I think you'll love it.
We'll enjoy it.
That's that right. Santa one?
No, it's not involving Santa.
Oh. I don't remember.
I'm going to make a note, though, Mike, they're going to have to watch the Santa Claus movie for our next holiday episode, which we finished the year
Not
with.
The Tim Allen one.
I made Angela watch it this holiday season.
Did she enjoy it?
She did not.
we watched Jingle All the Way, and I haven't seen that since it came out. Guess what? It's a really bad movie.
What? I love Jingle.
Turbo Man.
It's bad.
I was going to say,
he has an Austrian accent, because it's Arnold. They don't explain why. And then, how did his kid and his wife not recognize him at the end?
Yeah, that always bothered me, too.
I was going to say, was that Phil Hartman's last role? I can't remember if he finished it.
Well, he was still doing news radio at the time. But I think it might have been a movie. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember. I was trying to remember the timeline, because I remember vividly when his last role as Lionel Hutz on The Simpsons was, and I remember how they handled it on news radio, and I was like, was this all around the same time that this all happened?
I know. Angela was making fun of me. She's like, why do you want to watch this every year? I was like, it's not, first of all, it's not every year. We've just watched it twice. Second, I don't know. I know I shouldn't like the movie as much as I do, but I think it's fun.
Everybody
really hits on the commercialism that we went through in that decade. There's one must-have toy that everybody wants.
Everybody
having to fight for it.
Yes, and everybody has that movie that's it is objectively a bad movie, but they love for certain reasons. So I think that's fine.
It's pretty much been. I don't. entire list of movies so far, right?
Yes. which is what we choose to share. I think that's great. All right. Anybody else have anything to say about The Wraith? Or will we let it escape to the ether and be done on its
wherever he was going.
Vengeance?
Wherever he was going. I hope they're happy now. They don't have money. Like, where are they going?
Again, it brings up that they should have just ended the film with, like, hey, I'm done. I'll have a good life. I'll see you later.
Was that her house, or did she live with her parents? How old are they?
Yeah, they're like 30, 18. I mean, I don't know how old they are at all. Like, the most adult kids I've ever seen in my life.
I kind of wanted to look up how old Clint Howard was in 1986 to see how many years older he was than the rest of the cast. Like,
I kept
think
thinking
the only
he was Adam Conover.
I know who that is. That's good.
You know,
wow. He's got one of those faces where he always looks old.
He looked old.
I
as
saw
a
picture
child.
Of him as a baby. Yeah, when I was googling yeah. him, and I was like, whoa.
Right, the Star Wars or Star Trek.
A Star Trek episode. Yeah.
Have some trenya.
One of my friends that I used to do YouTube with. They're a comedian in LA now, and for some reason they now work a lot with Adam Conover, like all the time.
Okay.
It's weird. I was like, hey.
He seems like an interesting fellow. I'll say that. Maybe one day he'll be on a guest episode on Funsphere Movie Club.
I have a
but
way
I guess
to
we'll
make
have
it
to
happen.
Say, we'll have to say goodbye for now and see if it happens in the future. Well, goodbye, everyone.
Jamie!
Jake?
Jake? Jamie? Oh, wow.
That's the worst way to say bye.
It was! It was really bad.
Bro,
it's like,
you said it.
See, that was good. That was a good way to end it. And then he's like, it couldn't be. Jake? Jamie? No. Just... it should have ended with, yes, I felt bad for that actor, too.